7FM Community File.
ECU is proud to offer a free exercise clinic where you can participate either virtually via an online platform or in person at the ECU Health Centre in Wanneroo. The free exercise clinic is open to anyone 18 years and older, and each session goes for 60 minutes. Sessions are run by ECU's third and fourth year exercise science students, supervised by accredited exercise physiologists. You can enrol in the full 13-week program or simply attend as many or as few sessions as you like. Visit the ECU Health Centre website for more information.
Pentanet is building a world-first gigabit internet network, and they need you to make it a reality. Join Operation Nexus to do your gigabit and save Perth from ordinary internet. Register for free at pentanet.com.au/nexus.
Station sponsor.
It is possible to stop using drugs.
We can help.
Call Narcotics Anonymous, 1300 652 820.
Or look us up on the web, na.org.au.
Hey, this is Joel from Eskimo Joe for RAD, recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. On tour, we love seeing punters at a gig having a great time. And because we play a lot of pubs, that usually involves a lot of drinks. What we'd hate to see is one of our fans trying to drive home after they'd been drinking. So before you go to a gig, plan ahead, share a taxi or arrange a designated driver who won't drink. The life you save might be your own.
RAD, RAD.org.au.
Give your business a unique position right here. Go to 897fm.com.au.
This is 897FM News.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. Refugee advocates have made a last-minute plea to Labor to scrap legislation they say would make criminals out of people seeking asylum in Australia. Remy Norton has the details.
The bill has already been condemned by the Coalition and the Greens, and now advocates have stepped up their cause as Parliament resumes for the budget session. Advocates say the bill would treat asylum seekers as criminals, would permanently separate families and expose refugees to persecution and even death once returned to their country. It would also ban people from certain countries entering Australia.
The people seeking asylum are really, really fearful of this bill because it could mean even if they've got their claim before the courts or before the Minister for Intervention, the bill could still apply to them.
Jana Favero from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre has told National Radio News advocates believed life under a Labor government would be far more humane for asylum seekers.
The federal government says cost of living relief is coming as the Treasurer prepares to hand down his third budget tomorrow. The government has already announced the budget would forecast a faster inflation drop than expected by the Reserve Bank, with Treasury forecasts saying the rate of price growth would slow to 2.75% by the December quarter. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese addressed the Labor caucus in Canberra today. He says tomorrow's budget is a Labor budget through and through.
New investments in Medicare and the health system. More help for households doing it tough. More homes in every state and territory. Yeah. Importantly, cost of living relief that doesn't add to inflation, indeed, that reduces inflation.
A Senate committee has found nuclear safety laws should allow for Australia to accept low-level waste as part of the AUKUS submarine deal. The committee recommended safety laws pass Parliament and extra oversights be set up for nuclear regulators. However, opponents say the law would allow Australia to become a dumping ground for nuclear waste. The conduct of a former judge who presided over an inquiry into the criminal prosecution of Bruce Lambin will be investigated by the ACT's corruption watchdog. The ACT Integrity Commission today confirmed it would probe the conduct of Walter Sofronoff KC. The allegations relate to Mr. Sofronoff's dealings with journalists during a 2023 Board of Inquiry hearing and his decision to release the final report to two journalists before it was handed over to the ACT Chief Minister. In a statement, the Commission says the Commissioner has decided to commence an investigation into Mr. Sofronoff's conduct as he suspects, on reasonable grounds, it may constitute corrupt conduct. Police in Western Australia are investigating the sexual assault of a teenage girl. A 14-year-old girl was allegedly approached by a man and sexually assaulted on Saturday night while walking through an oval in Perth's south. She alerted a friend and police were quickly notified. Police are appealing for anyone who witnessed the alleged attack or has CCTV or mobile phone vision to contact Crime Stoppers. The NRL is investigating allegations of racial abuse aimed at two Indigenous players. A member of the public who attended the South Sydney Rabbitohs St George Illawarra Dragons match on Saturday informed the NRL and Rabbitohs about the alleged abuse of Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker by a spectator. The Rabbitohs say they stand in condemnation of any form of racism, while the Dragons say they are united in condemning racism in all its forms. The NRL Integrity Unit is looking into the claims.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
This is Night Shift.
Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome to Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM. I'm Gordon Allen, your host, and we'll have all the latest rugby league news in our rugby league segment, and all the latest junior sports news from 7 till 8. Doesn't get any better than that on Sports Mix. Well, big program as usual. And, of course, to kick off the program tonight, it's a warm welcome to my co-host, our man of steel, very own, Tim Park, all the way from the Yorkshire Moors. Evening, Tim.
Hello, Gordon. I'm sitting here in my shorts. Yes, rugby league is great, isn't it?
It certainly is. Summer's day here in Yorkshire, I would have thought.
Oh, at least.
At least that.
At the best.
At the best. But anyway, listeners, it's a another warm welcome to our resident women's rugby league expert, Mahina Clare from the Ellenbrook Rabbits, as we review round two and all the news from the local women's tackle competition. Plus, we're going to preview the women's State of Origin game one this Thursday in Brisbane. Good evening, Mahina, and have you recovered from Friday night's 17-16 win over North Beach? Woohoo!
Hey, Gordon. Hey, Tim. Thanks for the intro. I don't know. I'm still a bit sore. It takes me about a whole week to recover.
You're showing your age, Mahina.
Well, that means you're putting it in then, so that's good.
Well and truly. And of course, we must make mention of Lee with Monday Drive. Great program there before we came on air.
Of course.
But Mahina, the game, 17-16. How close was it?
Yeah, talk us through it.
Please.
I don't know where to start with the first half. We just didn't want the ball. We let their hooker, Anahita, we let her score three times at dummy half. So I think that's the area that needs the most working on. Dummy half of the markers, sorry, right at the line. That's where she scored three times. So that's obviously our weakest point. But to go up by 1 point in that game, we just didn't let them score in the second half.
Fantastic. So your defence came to the fore in the last...
And you did it at the other end. That's good.
Well and truly.
Yep. Very tired, very much dragging my feet. Didn't really want to be in hooker, but... You know, you have to get going when you've got no one to play there.
Well,
yes,
it's vital.
It certainly is. Well, as we said from all the reports, it was a wonderful game.
Mm.
And up until, right on full time there and the field goal, 17-16. So well done, Mahina, in round two of the women's competition, in the local competition, of course. Now, next weekend, this coming weekend, the Rabbits will take on Fremantle and North Beach will take on the Giants. What are you expecting from Fremantle?
It's the top four teams, really, and it's the only four teams in the comp.
Yep.
But Joondalup, North Beach and Frio, we've always just expected anything to happen with those teams. They have so much depth in their team. With Frio, they've got the likes of Claudia Foster and... Tiana Graham, so I'm guessing it's going to be another close game. Like every round, it will be a close game, but definitely this one is going to be up there.
Now, will the coach, what sort of training sessions will there be this week? They'll be medium or hard, or what do you think the coach will be like?
He definitely dug into us about our markers and just being lazy, so... I think a lot of fitness is going to come and hurt us in the end. so I'm expecting some hard fitness on Wednesday night.
That sounds wonderful, Tim.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, with marker defence.
I think I'm going to go have a look at training.
if we're getting scored from marker, that's definitely going to be... where they're going to punish us all the time.
Yes, well, I'm sure that you and the rest of the team and the coach will work on that in preparation for the match against Fremantle. North Beach up against the Giants, that should be a good game as well.
Yeah, North Beach have come a long way. So their team and their club keeps growing each year, and the amount of talent that's coming out of that team. They have a lot of touch footy players, so I'm excited to see the scores on that game against Joondalup.
Now, of course, those games are on Friday night, and I think, if I'm right, you're playing at North Beach?
Yep, back at North Beach again.
Charles Riley,
great yep. reserve up there. Well and truly. Now, of course, the Women's League Tag Round 5 was played on the weekend. Fremantle defeated the Sharks 34-18, South Perth 20 over the Rabbits 14, and the Titans defeated the Bears. South Perth 5 from 5, they're on 10 points, and the Giants in second on 8 points in the Women's League Tag. Any surprise results there, Mahina?
Did I hear you say 20 South Perth 14 Bunnies?
Was that the score? What was the score, please? I must have it incorrect.
Oh, no, I was just very shocked to hear that score. I thought that South Perth would have, been way above that scoreline compared to the Bunnies. But
That was a score on the
awesome
website.
Score to hear
that one. Now, of course, round 6 next Saturday, the Giants take on the Sharks, North Beach, South Perth. Fremantle will take on the Titans, and the Rabbits will take on the Bears. So interesting matches coming up there in next weekend's Rugby League Tag, a Women's League Tag. Round 6 should be some exciting, open, free-flowing Rugby League there, Mahina, I would have thought.
Yeah, tags always are fun and fast games. So
well and truly.
Will it be a big night on Thursday night for you for State of Origin, Mahina?
Oh, that's the women's, hey? Yeah, I'm excited. I've just seen the New South Wales lineup. It's not what I expected. There's a few names that I expected to be in there.
Well, I didn't see Kennedy Sherrington's name
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yep. Even Samama Tofa, didn't see her. Jesse Southwell. So it's quite a different... It's an original kind of side, but it's a bit, some of the new players that have come up really deserve the spot in there.
Yes, it says that Kezzy Apps and Isabel Kelly will lead the new-look Sky Blues, and new halves pairing in Corbin Baxter and Rachel Pearson. Other new faces are hooker Olivia Higgins, bench forward Grace Kemp. They'll make their Origin debuts, while star prop Caitlin Johnson returns to the side. So there have been some significant changes, as you pointed out, Mahina, to the New South Wales team.
Yeah, to see I know Corbin Baxter's a utility player in there, but I thought she would have been more in the outside back, on the edge or in the back, but to see her in the half is a bit different. I would have expected someone like Jessie Southwell to be in there to make a debut. We'll see how this team goes. Obviously, Queensland were going to win.
Very unbiased.
Seeing that lineup.
very unbiased.
Well done.
Now the Maroons have been forced to make a change with Keely Johnson ruled out of game one, and she's eyeing a return for the second clash in Newcastle. Mackenzie Wheel is in line for her Origin debut. She's been added to the interchange, and Titans utility Lauren Brown returns to the camp for the first time since 2022. So looking forward to Sienna Lofipoa and Skylar Adams are a step closer to making their debuts. They've been named in the squad, but you're certainly very confident, I would think, with Jessica Surges and Isabel Kelly in the centres there. That will be a big change for the Queensland team.
It's a good thing for you girls because you're going to promote rugby league, and that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough matchup too, and both teams are pretty solid. So I'm excited to see the one on Thursday.
Yes, well, as I said, I made an error there. Jessica Surges and Isabel Kelly in the centres for New South Wales, but number 13 for Queensland, Ali Brigginshaw. She's a great footballer and a stalwart Queensland player, Mahina.
Yeah, I love seeing Ellie Brigginshaw in the lock position. She is a half as well, but just to see that she has that depth to be able to play in the lock gives me more ball players, so that's an exciting one as well.
Certainly is, and she's very experienced, and she's bleeds red maroon. for Queensland every time.
I'm being shown live on Jam, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because as we know, it's the lead into Magic Round. Mm. So it's being played in Brisbane on the Thursday night. And then, of course, the men's NRL Magic Round, all games in Brisbane from Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So I think it's a fantastic lead-in to the weekend. Mahina, with your confidence, what's the score going to be?
Is this for the women's?
For the women's game.
I feel like it will be a close game, but at the same time, I feel like the Queensland Maroons will get a converted try up against New South Wales.
Excellent. And, of course, Mahina, the inside knowledge, what's happening with the Warriors at the moment in the men's?
Yes, tell us.
The men's, I have no idea, actually. it's a bit of an emotional
one. We all had them in the top four, and I don't think they can make it from where they are now.
I think every year we say to ourselves, this is our year. Definitely still backing that, but, you know, we've had a bit of a fumble the last few games.
Well and truly.
They set up like a house on fire, but the fire brigade came very early.
Hopefully we all stay on the bandwagon and keep cheering the boys on.
Well and truly. Well, Mahina Clare from the Ellenbrook Rabbits, great win last Friday night, 17-16 over North Beach. Good luck in your match against Fremantle this Friday night in the local women's competition, all the women's league tag. And you've said that Queensland will win by a converted try in the first of three State of Origin games this Thursday night. Enjoy your training this week, Mahina, particularly the...
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward behind. To
trying. Thanks so much for joining us, Mahina. Cheers.
Good night.
Bye, Mahina.
Bye.
Bye.
Does it get any better than that, does it, Tim?
No.
How honest was that?
Very.
Well and truly. Well, listeners, we'll go to a little bit of an extended break. And after the break, we're going to be joined by our resident NRL expert at the moment, because Greg McCallum is overseas. It'll be local guru Peter Rowe, or as we should now call him, Nostradamus, because he predicted that Jason Demetrio would be the first NRL coach sacked, and he picked the Sharks to beat the Storm in the NRL and the Rockingham Sharks to defeat Fremantle in the local competition. So Peter's going to join us around about 6:25.
Well, obviously that's why he's the expert, Gordon.
That's exactly right. A big task, but looks like Peter's our man. So it's Peter Nostradamus Rowe. And looking forward to chatting with Peter very shortly here on Sports Mix 89.7 FM. Don't go away.
Stay in the loop with what's happening in your community. Visit station sponsor City of Joondalup's website at joondalup.wa.gov.au and subscribe to an e-newsletter. You'll find everything you need to know about community, events, updates and job vacancies. Register today for this free service.
Pentanet is building a world-first gigabit internet network, and they need your help to make it a reality. Join Operation Nexus to do your gigabit and save your community from ordinary internet. Register for free at pentanet.com.au/nexus.
Station sponsor,
The Community File.
Do you have 1 free hour per week and a passion for helping young people? EdConnect Australia's volunteers provide friendship and guidance to students who need a little support to reach their full potential. You can help as a mentor working one-to-one with a student or as a learning support volunteer to assist in classrooms, breakfast clubs or a variety of other roles. For further information, please call 9444 8646 or go to www.edconnect.org.au.
Promote your non-profit organisation or community group and it's free. Head to our website at 897fm.com.au.
A cigarette smoker, a Saturday joker.
Tune in every Monday evening to Sports Mix between 6 to 8pm with Gordon Allen and the team for all the latest rugby league news and what's happening in local junior sport. For your latest weekly sports fix, it's Sports Mix on 89.7 FM.
Someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. Now that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. Get his pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Listeners, welcome back to our Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM. And we just had the Monkees with I'm a Believer, and we're talking to a true believer now, our local NRL guru, expert, the man with the biggest smile. And last week was after the NRL Sharks won and the Rockingham Sharks won on the weekend. He's a true believer, Peter Rowe. Good evening, Peter. Nostradamus.
Yeah, I'm believing all right this week. Yeah, I didn't expect my little double tip to come up, but hey, it did.
It did, well and truly. So well done, Peter, the only man in Australia who predicted the two Sharks wins. And, of course, the first man to, or the, from our panel, to predict the sacking of Jason Demetrio. So, Peter, you're well ahead this year so far.
You're the man, Pete.
Thanks for the compliment. I'm never comfortable with predicting coach sackings.
No, it's not the best.
It's not the best.
but anyway, yeah. A good weekend. Good
yes,
weekend
it was.
Yes,
well,
it was.
Apart from the increase in injuries, and we just thought very quickly, Peter and Tim, the statistics say that the average of 23 hamstring injuries per year. We already had 18 prior to last weekend, and with about another four over the weekend, it's at that same level now after round 10. And, of course, some suggestions about pre-season training, rule changes, the speed of the game, stoppages. And I also throw into the mix that for the first time in a long time, they're playing on wet weather grounds with the torrential rain that's been held on the eastern seaboard as well.
I'm thinking a bit the opposite to that, Pete. I'm thinking, is it because they're overtrained a little bit?
Possibly. One of the comments my son, who's about to graduate with a degree in sports science, so I'll listen to him, said to me, he said, I think they're rushing back players too soon. He said, look at Cleary. He said, they've rushed him back. clubs are, the sports science departments are under pressure, a lot of pressure, to get injured players rehabbed and back on the field as quickly as they can. And because the game has quickened up somewhat in the past couple of years,
we all agree with that.
It gets harder and harder. And that was my son's thought. So, I'm tended to sort of think that may be the reason, or part of the reason.
Because there is a combination of factors there for such a significant increase. We're not even halfway through the season yet. And when the average of hamstring injuries is 23 for the season, you wonder exactly where it will finish.
It's going to have an effect on Origin, isn't it?
A massive effect on Origin for the Blues. I think they're now looking at who they're going to play in the halves.
Mm.
Exactly right.
Mitchell Moses, suddenly his name appears and like, wow, we would have never thought Mitch Moses was going to play for the Blues in the halves this season, would we?
No, you wouldn't.
You would not, but he's a fair possibility because he might be the only halfback left standing ready to take the spot. So, Peter, Tim, let's have a look at round 10 now, because a good weekend for Queensland State of Origin, as we said, with the injuries to the New South Welshman, of course. But we know it was fins up with the Dolphins defeating Manly 30-24.
They keep going, Peter, don't they? We keep saying we don't think they're quite there, and yet they keep winning.
Try Fuller. But it's a great opening season. He's 27. He's not exactly a rookie, is he? But he's having a great season for the Dolphins. And, really dragged them back from 16-4 down to become winners. They're exceeding all expectations, I think, the Dolphins this season.
Certainly are. 3 tries in 5 minutes. Of course, the injury to Tommy Turbo for Manly. Friday night, the Panthers. And as we said, it was the Panthers A team beat the Panthers B team. That's the Bulldogs. The Panthers 16 defeated the Bulldogs 10. And, of course, the injury to Nathan Cleary, the big turning point, talking point. But it took 25 minutes before there was a score on the board. But the 56 missed tackles for the Dogs says it all.
It does.
It does, really. Dylan Edwards took control once Cleary left the field. He had an amazing game. I think he's leading the Daly M. Isaiah Yeo, another one, 18 carries, 31 tackles. A lot of strength in that Panthers side, a lot of depth in that Panthers side.
Well and truly. Now, of course, the Broncos, John Saxon's team, 30, defeated the Eels 14 in in Sydney there, 5 tries to 2.
A good first half.
Ezra Mann's chip and chase, third straight loss for the Eels, and Mitchell Moses back for Magic Round. Will they be able to turn it around, the Eels? But it was a dominating performance by the Broncos. Payne Haas, 2 excellent runs, 2 offloads, 2 tries.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a good performance all round, wasn't it? Dean Marino had a great game as well.
Yep.
And, nice to see Josh Rogers.
Yes.
Playing in the NRL. And he's not a youngster either. I think he's mid-20s, 25.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's been playing in Q Cup, and they've given him another chance. And he didn't disgrace himself at all. He played well.
And, of course, very simple instructions from the Broncos coach. Get your kicks right. Make sure of your tackles, and everything will go according to plan. So, and it certainly did. So, well done to him. Now, on Saturday, on Saturday, Bradman Best 20 defeated the West Tigers 14 in Tamworth, and 11 tackles and a bust and a try, and that 100-metre try 4 minutes into the second half. Plenty of injuries to both sides. Benji, I do question some of his. I know they were forced on him with injury, but to move one of your top centres, Justin Olam, from the centre spot where Bradman was making ground, put him on the wing, and I know Bateman is probably left with no option, but I did question some of his tactical moves.
I think he's still learning. Very much a learning coach. He's got the ability. Everybody thinks he's got the long-term ability, but is very much a learning process for the Tigers. They're still... they're still out there on the fringe, so 15th on the ladder. They're not going to excite anybody really this year. An improvement on last year, but only slightly.
That's the Knights' third win in a row. Now, the Dragons, despite the return of Latrell Mitchell, Dragons 28 defeated the Rabbits 14.
Too good for the Rabbits.
Too good.
Jack DeBellum had a great game.
Certainly did.
Harry's 22 tackles. He featured heavily throughout the whole game. Ben Hunt. Great kicking game.
And Zach Lomax, the man that's going to the Eels, 16 points.
Yeah, it's still a strange one, isn't it?
And they pushed the Rabbits back and forced a lot of errors.
Yes.
In the Rabbits team and capitalised on them, which is something I'll talk about when we get to the local game, but that's exactly what the Dragons do.
Now, of course, Latrell Mitchell scored two tries, but he probably let three in. So
yes, it was counterproductive.
Now, your Sharks, 25 defeated the Storm 18 in Melbourne, the controversial sin binning of Harry Grant. The big thing, though, Craig Bellamy signed till the end of 2025, and certainly the Sharks, are they the real deal in 2024 with no Nicho Hynes, but Talakai?
Oh, a bull.
Runaway steam train.
You're not kidding.
Absolutely. Daniel Atkinson had a great game as well.
Certainly did.
You need a West Yorkshire bus to stop him.
Yeah, when you lose Nicho Hynes' calibre, that close to kick-off, you know, it's close to the game, it can be a struggle for the coach to figure out how we're going to quickly restructure. But the Sharks, they came home. I always felt that they had something more in them. You know, and Storm are a good side, but Storm had closely won two or three home this season, just got home.
Yes, that's right.
Against the good side, they may struggle, and it proved to be.
The Harry Grant sin bin was pivotal, but we can talk about it forever and a day. It was tough, I thought, but it is what it is.
No, I don't think so, but that's my personal view, yeah.
He was sin bin, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, we can't do anything about it.
Six on the trot for the Sharks, top of the table on 18 points, all by their lonesome up there. Now, yesterday, the Roosters, well, they defeated the Warriors 38-18. Is that the end of the Warriors? Is that the end of the Warriors for 2024?
Yep.
That's got to be the end of the Warriors. They've dropped way down the ladder. They, you know, 14th, I think. They're not going to make finals if they keep playing the way they're playing. Dom Young had a great game.
Yep.
He had more line breaks, personally, than the Warriors had in total in the game.
That tells it all, doesn't
two
it?
Two tries to Dominic Young, Angus Crichton, two tries, led 22-0 at half-time. But the Warriors, 25 missed tackles in the first half again. That says it all, and JWH's 300th game, he would have loved it.
You're not going to win games, guys, missing tackles.
No.
It's not. You know, and that starts at my level, at community football, NWA, that's a comment you'll hear all the time. And it's the same in the NRL. If you're playing at that level and you're missing that many tackles,
you're going to lose.
Mm. Exactly right. And the final game, of course, the Titans held off a fast finishing Cowboys to win 20-18.
Strange game that was. It was two halves, wasn't it?
20-0.
It was. Wasn't it? They were 20-0 up. Yeah, I know. And then, you know, the Cowboys came back in with David Fifita, despite moving on next year. I thought he had a big game.
He did.
Tackle bus played really well for the Titans. And then Jason Tamalolo, you know, he played well for the Cowboys. I think he had 14 carries. He's finding some form, but I'm not sure it's going to be enough to get to the Cowboys.
Oh, they were terrible in the first half, I thought.
Oh, exactly. Well, it was still 20 minutes to go. The Titans were leading 20-0. So it was a fast finish by the Cowboys. Loss of Kieran Foran, I think, allowed the Cowboys to start.
Yeah, it did. That was an effect.
And Valentine Holmes, wouldn't he like that over again to be able to put the ball down to maybe get that four-pointer?
Yeah.
That's all we'll say.
Yep.
So the Sharks sitting on top of the ladder on 18 points, Panthers second on 16 with the Storm, Dolphins in fourth spot on 14 points, Roosters fifth on 12 with the Broncos and the Raiders, and then the Sea Eagles in eighth spot on 11 points. Rabbitohs down the bottom on 4. So that's our competition ladder. NRL this weekend, round 11, Peter Rowe, Nostradamus. It's the magic round in Brisbane. I wonder who'll have the home ground advantages.
I'm hearing today that three clubs are saying they're not going to give up their home spot. But this might be the last match unless the NRL can bring the clubs. Because they're losing out on Manchester, obviously. So, be a conversation over the next few months where the magic round appears again in 2025.
Exactly.
Let's look at round 11, Friday night then.
So, quickly, Thursday night, the women's State of Origin game 1, New South Wales, Queensland. A good opening round for game for the big weekend. Friday, Raiders up against the Dogs.
I'm going to go Raiders. They're at home, and I like what I saw the last time.
Raiders are home for me.
I think so. Now, the Eagles up against the Broncos. It's an Eagles home game at Brisbane. Yeah. I think the Broncos might be too strong.
I do too.
At home in Brisbane, I'm going Broncos. Yeah,
Timmy,
Broncos for me.
Yep. Now Saturday, the Titans up against the Knights. Gee, this will be an interesting clash because I think the Knights must be nearly due for a loss. But can the Titans? They've got a few injury worries.
They've got five halfbacks out injured. they're going to struggle. On that reason, I just think they're going to run out of troops. So on that reason, I'm going Knights.
Well, yeah, but yeah, without foreign, it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
I've got to go Newcastle.
I think so. Now, your Sharks up against the Roosters. This should be a cracker of a match because it's Team 1 versus Team 5. Come on, Nostradamus.
The last year I would have said, oh, no, the Sharks, you know, win 2, lose 1, that sort of top, on and off, hot, cold, hot, cold. This year I'm seeing lots and lots of hot, so I'm going Sharks again. I'll stick with the Sharks.
Timmy?
I'm not sure about this one. I'll stick with Starks for this week.
I might take the Roosters.
I like the look of the Roosters, I must say.
Now, the Rabbits, final game on Saturday night. Rabbits up against the Cowboys. Gee, can the Rabbits... I thought they played for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, played really good football. After that, they fell away. The Cowboys, oh, gee, what do you do?
We didn't play the last 20 minutes. So you've got one team that can play first... And then the other team that can play a second half.
Could it be a draw, like the Brisbane Lions and Adelaide in the AFL? But anyway, Rabbits and Cowboys.
Cowboys have got something there, but it's not clicking. And the Rabbits really haven't got a lot, but they've got to be playing for pride in the badge and everything else these days now, I think. So I'm going to go, I can't see them losing again on the trot, so I'm going to go Rabbits.
Yes. I'm a bit the opposite there, Pete. I just don't see where the Rabbits are coming from. They look lost to me. They've got the headlights in their eyes. I'm going to go Cowboys.
Cowboys. Now, Sunday, the Warriors up against the Panthers. You would think that the Panthers would do that?
Yes. Yep. I'm not even having thoughts about
that one. Storm up against the Eels, Tim?
Well, you know what? I'm going purple.
You'll
but,
go purple. That's why I ask.
I'll go purple as well.
You go purple as well. And the match of the weekend to finish off with the Tigers. It's a Tigers home game, of course, in Brisbane, taking on the Dolphins because they've got the home team dressing room. So that'll be an interesting clash. I think the speed of the Dolphins out wide might be too good.
I think Dolphins, you're right. They've got some pace and Tigers still building. So I'm going to go Dolphins. And that's virtually a home game for them as well.
Exactly right. You know.
I'm going Dolphins, but we're writing the Tigers off. But they'll give us a couple of surprises before the season's out.
Yeah, that's when Benji Marshall and Robbie Farah take the field again. So, Peter, we'll go to our short break, and after the break, we're going to be talking all things local rugby league, and of course, the Sharks 28 defeated Fremantle 12 in the men's first grade, and North Beach defeated the Giants 18-12. Can't wait to hear your expert opinion on that and everything else that's happening in local rugby league. Sports Mix 89.7 FM. Don't go away, listeners.
Station sponsor.
Business, science, nursing. In every industry, there's a key thing employers are looking for. Creative thinking. It empowers you to overcome obstacles, sparks new ideas, and makes your voice cut through the noise. And at ECU, it's embedded in our teaching and learning. Study with flexibility and level up your career with creative thinking. Search ECU Postgrad and apply now. ECU. Creative thinkers made here.
If you marked an X on the map of Perth for every investment property managed by Exceed Property Management, there'd be so many X's you'd be hard-pressed to read the map. That's because station sponsor Exceed Real Estate are one of Perth's largest and most successful property managers. Exceed delivers exceptional service, excellent performance, and extraordinary reliability. In property management, X means Exceed Real Estate. Life is better with Exceed.
Pentanet is building a world-first gigabit internet network, and they need you to make it a reality. Join Operation Nexus to do your gigabit and save Perth from ordinary internet. Register for free at pentanet.com.au/nexus.
Station sponsor.
On 89.7, Talking Sport from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturdays.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The Cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got the world to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up that he throw. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of one swoop with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bit insane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like Ash your father, and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. To change the mood a little, I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy this, I fancy that, I wanna be so fresh. I give a little muscle and I spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat, cool for cats. Onto the wall. I kiss her for the first time and then I take her home. I'm invited in for coffee and I give the dog a bone. She likes to go to discos but she's never on her own. I said I'll see you later and I give her some old chat. But it's not like that on the TV. When it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Welcome back to Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM, and we're continuing our rugby league segment. A little bit of UK squeeze there with Cool for Cats, but we're keeping online. We've got our resident guru, Nostradamus, Peter Rowe, all things rugby league. Peter, now, of course, just to let our listeners know, we're having a short break because I'll be away the next 2 Mondays, so our next program will be Monday the 3rd of June. Even though it's a public holiday, sport never stops. So we'll be back on air on Monday the 3rd of June at the usual time. So, Peter, NRL WA, round 5, the Sharks 28 defeated Fremantle 12, North Beach 18 defeated the Giants 12. Take us through the games.
I'll start park first with the Giants and the Sea Eagles, where Sea Eagles were in control for much of the first half, but then they lost Bailey Miller, their the halfback, the really decent player, is young Bailey. He dislocated his elbow in a freak accident, tackling with his own player. So he went off just before half-time, I think it was, on the half-hour, and they had to reshuffle. And the Giants got back into the game. But talking to Phil Duchet, the coach of Sea Eagles, on Sunday morning, he told me that he was very pleased with the way his defence had reacted to the loss to the Sharks the week before. They turned up. They put on a defensive display, held the Giants at bay, and got home by 8 points.
So, good result.
Another good result. Eagles. The Giants, yeah, they've got a lot of work to do. They've got a lot of young players, so it'll take a little bit of time, I think, for them to get their combinations working. Now, moving on, 2 hours later, down at Shark Park, down at Port Kennedy, the Rockingham Sharks, of course, were hosting the Fremantle Roosters in the game of the round, and what a game it turned out to be. I had to pinch myself just after half-time when the Sharks were leading 28-0. And I'm thinking, this isn't right. This is a tighter game than it should be, because both teams were putting in big, big efforts. The scoreline probably doesn't reflect how close this game was. And I think, you know, a great effort by both teams. And I know Dwayne Butler, the Fremantle, afterwards, you said this was probably one of the best adverts for WA Rugby League I've played in for a long, long time.
Gee.
Two very good teams, very well coached, going head to head. And it
good.
Was big defences, lots of hits. Peter Wirth, who's been around for since Noah and the Ark, reached in from 15 metres to knock Nick Riggs off his feet. Ball pops up, and the Sharks' young winner, TT, as he's known, raced over to score. TT scored an amazing 95-metre intercept early in the second half. Right, he sort of, they nearly caught him, and then he pinned back his ears, and he was gone again. Speed, and the noise around the place, it was really, it was a great night of rugby league. The Roosters got back into it late on with two late tries, sort of in the last 7 or 8 minutes to get a little bit of respectability. But Phil Tom Murphy, the coach, said to me on Sunday morning, "Mate, this is a great win, but we haven't won anything yet. There's a long, long way to go." And I stood in the shed on Saturday night listening to him addressing the players, and he said, "Enjoy your night, but you're back here on Tuesday because we've got a lot of work."
That's wonderful to hear a good coach with that attitude. Yep. Now, of course, that means that the Sharks are on 10 points, North Beach 8, Fremantle 6, Giants 3, and South Perth 3. South Perth had the bye. Round 6 coming up next weekend. The Giants up against the Sharks, North Beach up against South Perth, Fremantle have the bye. Two good games again, Peter.
Mm.
Yeah, two very good games, and it all depends on, which teams turn up. And I know the Sharks won't want to turn up thinking that they can beat anybody, because that's when they'll, they could get rolled by a Giants team that will be looking for a scalp. So they've got to be on their game to get the points up at Admiral Park. And the Sea Eagles, again, the Lions have had the 2 week break, coverage from two or three injuries. They'll go to North Beach looking to get their first win of the season as well. So they have two good games to watch.
Coming up. Now in the Val Murphy, North Beach 34 defeated the Giants 16. Alkimos defeated the Rabbits. Fremantle defeated the Sharks. And South Perth 28 defeated the Bulldogs 26. Willoughby had the bye. So Fremantle leading the Val Murphy on 10 points. The Bears on 8. Alkimos on 7. The Sharks on 6. North Beach, Kalamunda, South Perth on 4. The Giants 3, the Rabbits yet to win a game. So we'll move on very quickly to third grade. Round 2, North Beach defeated the Giants. The Titans defeated South Perth. Mandra defeated the Bears. Kalamunda defeated the Serpents. And Fremantle defeated the Sharks 18-14 in a close game there as well, Peter.
Good game. Both third grade and reserve grade games are really great to watch. They're quality. The reserve grade games, both Rocky and Frio, had players who could play first grade, and it showed in the quality of the game.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. Of course, two or three games under their belts now, and you would expect that teamwork and fitness would be starting to blend together well and truly. Well, just quickly, before we do the English Super League, round 11, the Auckland Rugby League, they're round 2 in the men. The Hornets defeated the Vikings 26-24 in the grand final replay. The Bulldogs defeated the Roosters. The Lions hammered the Bears. The Pirates defeated Manukau 34-30. Winger the week before, Khan Manakoa, scored 5 tries in the opening round. It certainly didn't get them in round 2. The Sea Eagles defeated the Scorpions, and the Leopards defeated Saints 40-18, 8 tries to 3. So the Lions, Leopards, Sea Eagles and Bulldogs all 2-2 in the Auckland Rugby League. The women, the Scorpions, 2-2. And we'll go across the ditch, bypass Australia, all the way over to England, the English Super League, round 11. The London Broncos, first win of the season, 34-18 over Hulk FC.
Amazing.
They did. And I watched the highlights this morning, and all I can say is Hulk's defence was shocking. That was really on the edge of the word, not at the game. And all credit to London for getting their first win.
Yep, well and truly.
This trouble of Hull FC, they're going to struggle.
Now, Warrington made it back-to-back with home wins, defeating Hull KR 20-8, so good win there for Warrington.
George Williams, man of the match, ran Hull KR rampant. Warrington in D and attack under Sam Burgess look a very different team to last year.
Well and truly.
Yeah.
Now, Lee defeated their neighbours Salford 42-12. Moylan and Lamb, later in the game, they absolutely carved up Salford.
I'm going to pop a name up now, Gordon, that you'll have fond memories of. This young man called Amala Hanley. He's Ellery Hanley's
son. Ellery Hanley's son, yes. I've seen him play a number of times.
Scored 2 tries for Lee in that particular game, and it's great to see the Hanley name continuing in rugby league, because Black Pearl was great.
Wonderful. And saw him a couple of weeks ago in one of the games I watched as well. Yeah. Now, the fiery affair between Castleford and St Helens, Tommy Mackinson sent off, saw St Helens score 11 tries in their 60-4 victory.
It's a big win, isn't it?
Big win, as Tim just said.
Yeah. 12 men I think Tommy Mackinson got sent off in the 13th minute. So that's a long way to go with 12 men. That shows the difference in class between, you know, Castleford and St Helens. And St Helens are going to be there or there as well.
Yep, no, they always are.
Wigan defeated the Giants 48-6 to regain the top spot. And the Dragons, well, they defeated the Leeds.
Yeah, what's going on at Headingley? Yeah, yes, Pete, goodness me, they're in a hole, aren't they?
I'll try and put on my best Parisian accent. Les Dragons. They were superb, and their man of the match was called Arthur Moog. One try and five goals. And he looks quality. He looks a player for the future. And Leeds, they were woeful, really woeful. I have to question Rowan Smith's tactics, to be honest with you. You know, and will he last the season?
He could be the next one.
Could be the next one to go, yeah.
Well, we've heard it from Nostradamus here, so thank you, Peter, sharing that with us now. Of course, four teams on 16 points, Wigan, St Helens, Wolves and Catalans. Next round is on the 24th of May, because coming up next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the Challenge Cup semi-finals. OKR taking on Wigan and the Giants taking on the Wolves in the men. Two wonderful games in the Challenge Cup semis, Peter and Tim.
Yes. You may remember last year's. I think there were classics last year, weren't there, that went to the wire. And the whole KR and Lee. And so I'm hoping for the same this year. I'm hoping two great games.
Yes, I'm certainly hoping the same. And, of course, the women also being played as double headers. And St Helens will take on York, and Wigan will take on Leeds. So the Leeds women doing very well there into the Challenge Cup semi-final. Peter, the whole KR-Wigan game, that should be a cracker.
Yes.
You'd fancy Wigan, wouldn't you?
On current form, I would fancy Wigan. But if the right Hull KR team turns up, because we've seen them turn up this year, haven't we? You know, and
We have.
Beat Saints a couple of weeks ago. If they turn up, they could push Wigan all the way, and it really could go down to the wire. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. It's going to be a late night on Saturday night, I think, but let's enjoy it when we can.
It certainly will be, I think, a very late night for all of us watching both of those Challenge Cup semi-finals. Well, gentlemen, let's go back to State of Origin, because we'll be away when the squads are being announced. What do New South Wales do with the run of injuries, Peter and Tim, particularly the halfback? We've mentioned Mitchell Moses, Nicho Hynes, anyone else?
Nicho Hynes, if he's fit, I mean, if his injury at the weekend was minor and he's just going to be out for a week or two, Nicho Hynes has got to be in the halves.
Agreed.
Agree totally.
Shadow of a doubt, because he is the form half this year, you know, with the Sharks. Who's going to sit alongside him is the question, isn't it?
Of Luke Keary.
Possibly. Mitch Moses is another option. Luke Keary, Mitch Moses. I'm not sure there's anybody else out there that could play Origin, you know, of that level. It's a real hard one. I mean, the Blues have been harder hit with injuries than the Maroons. So it is a tough one, and you know everybody's now. I'm reading comments online, and everybody's saying, "Oh, it's another poor season for the Blues because of." I don't know. Mitch, Madge is a good coach. We all know Mark McGuire is a good coach, so it'll be interesting to see who he picks and what's available in a couple of weeks' time.
Exactly.
That's the big one. Who's available?
Well, available. Well, we think Teddy Tedesco should be there, as Dylan Edwards.
Dylan Edwards, Teddy should be there.
Yep.
Let's pull back, unless he cops another head knock, you know, and he's a bit susceptible to those at the moment, and we hope that doesn't happen.
Edwards can play on the wing anyway, can't he, Pete?
Do you put Luttrell in the centres?
Have Bradman Best would certainly be one of the centres I would have bought at the moment.
Bradman Best, definitely.
Bradman Best is a form player at the moment. I mean, personally, I wouldn't pick Luttrell because he's not.
No, I don't think I would either.
I wouldn't either.
He's not. He doesn't look it to me at the moment.
No, but is he a player for the moment rather than a player for a season?
You know, possibly, so, yeah, possibly.
Yeah, that's the conundrum the coach has, or the coaching, the selection team have. You know, do you pick him or don't you pick him? If you do, people will be asking questions. If you don't, they will be asking
questions anyway. Yeah, of course, right. Cody Walker probably comes back into the equation as well.
Yeah.
In the he's another if, isn't he?
Yes, he hasn't been up to form this season so far.
No, I don't think anybody in the Bunnies has been informed this season. Would you risk picking them? You've got to pick form players. You can't go on just on historic performances, or because they were good for two or three years, three, 4 years ago. I think you've got to go on who's in form this year and who can play alongside whom and work combinations with.
I think New South Wales might be pretty strong up the middle.
Yeah, the big pack. Queensland will always have a big pack
as well.
You know, that's nature of origin, isn't it? Mm. You know, there'll be some big hits early on. There always are. I'm a Blues fan, and I'd love to see Blues win an Origin series, but I don't know this year, primarily because of injuries.
Injuries. Agreed.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your insights into the state of Origin selections. I'm sure Madge was listening, and he'll be taking our advice well and truly. Well, Nostradamus, Peter Rowe, thank you for joining us tonight. Look forward to your company again on the 3rd of June. Good luck with your selections on the weekend, and let's hope that the local games will be two solid games. English Challenge Cup semi-finals.
Yeah, big ones.
Coming up as well.
Plenty of rugby league.
Wonderful things happening in rugby league. Have a great week, Peter Rowe.
Cheers, Pete.
Cheers, Pete. Bye. Well, as usual, great insight there from Peter Rowe. And he knows exactly what's happening in the local competition over in England and as well as the NRL.
He's switched on.
He certainly is. Well, our man of steel, Tim Park, thanks for joining us for our rugby league segment here on Sports Mix.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all. Good luck with your selections and look forward to your company again on the 3rd of June. We'll go to our next break, listeners, and then we'll be going into our second hour here. And a slight change to our format. Our host, co-host, Dr. Caitlin Fox-Harding, she's actually working tonight, but joining us will be Dr. Chrissy Kendall, lecturer in exercise and sports sciences at ECU.
That's a dirty word these days, Gordon.
It certainly is. And we're going to be talking basketball with Ray Baker, the coach of the Joondalup Wolves under-18 men's wobble team. Their team two, he's going to join us around about 7:20. They've had a couple of impressive wins over the last 2 weeks in defeating Lakeside and Coburn in the West Australian Basketball League competition. And we'll have a few general updates later in the program. Don't go away, listeners. Sports Mix, 89.7 FM.
Every year, hundreds of schools around WA have their school photos taken by a specialist school photographer. And Capture Photography has been doing this for over 17 years. No other school photographer puts as much effort into providing WA's highest quality photographic products. If you are part of a school management team, a PNC member, or even a parent wanting the very finest school photos, get in touch with the team at capture.com.au. That's Capture with a K. Station sponsor.
Station sponsor, the City of Joondalup, has four libraries, including a specialised reference and local history collection located at Joondalup Library, and a mobile Books on Wheels delivery service offering choices for all ages and lifestyles. The libraries also offer free internet, word processing, Wi-Fi access and self-service loans. Best of all, membership is free. Visit joondalup.wa.gov.au for more information.
The City of Wanneroo, corporate sponsor, proudly supporting 89.7 FM.
Visit the Wanneroo Regional Museum and delve into the fascinating history of the City of Wanneroo. The museum has become a favourite with families who love to drop in and take part in fun, diverse and interactive children's activities. To plan your visit, head to wanneroo.wa.gov.au/Wanneroo Regional Museum.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Pentanet is building a world-first gigabit internet network, and they need your help to make it a reality. Join Operation Nexus to do your gigabit and save your community from ordinary internet. Register for free at pentanet.com.au/nexus.
Station sponsor.
The going gets tough. The tough get going.
Yeah!
Well, listeners, we're into our second hour of Sports Mix, and as I said, and it's a warm welcome to our second segment to Dr. Chrissy Kendall, lecturer in exercise and sports sciences at ECU. Of course, Chrissy is no stranger to the program, been on a couple of times. Good evening, Chrissy.
Hi, Gordon. Happy to be back.
It's wonderful to hear your dulcet tones there, Chrissy. And and I know you're working hard, as you said, at the end of the semester and assessments and so on, and I'm sure all of your students will achieve some great results with their assessments.
Well, let's hope so.
Let's hope so. So I thought we could start, and of course, my co-host, Dr. Caitlin Fox Harding, she's actually working this evening, I believe, so that's great to, great to see. Now, of course, we thought it would be good to start with how young players or teams can prepare and recover in cooler conditions, obviously with winter approaching. But at the moment, the temperatures are still 28 in the daytime, and it's nothing like the cooler weather approaching. But Chrissy, how can players and young players and teams prepare, recover with the cooler conditions?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, and even things that we can start to implement now. And I'll use the example over the weekend. I don't know if, Gordon, you felt how humid it was.
Yes.
I believe on Sunday, it was about 80%. And I think we have to be careful, even when the temps start to drop, humidity can actually have a greater effect on how much we sweat, how much fluid we lost, and then therefore the effects that can have on our performance and recovery. So even though it might be getting a little bit cooler, or we might see that in the coming months, it's so important that we still stay hydrated and making sure that even if we're not feeling like we're sweating or, you know, getting flushed or you know, having that same sort of hot heat reaction, hydration is still very, very important. Otherwise, you know, as far as working out in cold conditions in Australia, we're pretty lucky, especially in Perth and in WA. We're not, you know, having to worry so much about frostbite as some of my colleagues when I was living in the U.S. where they were growing up in Wisconsin and Michigan when they're running outside in minus 20 to minus 40 degrees. Absolutely crazy. They have a whole set of barriers. But for us, thinking about the warm-up and cool-down periods in cooler climates might need to be adjusted and even extended to allow your body and especially your muscles to take a little bit longer to warm up and to increase your core temperature so that it's optimal for performance. So that's really kind of the biggest thing there. When we're working out in warmer climates, our core temperature is much closer and already at a level really where muscles are much more active. And I'll use the word pliable, but I think we can imagine that there's just some more flexibility, so it's not at risk for muscle tears and things like that. And then in the recovery period too, the same thing. I know when I was a kid growing up, when I would finish working out, but it was cold outside, I just want to, you know, bundle up, get in my car and go home and kind of just forget the whole cool down period. I just wanted to get somewhere warm. But again, the cool down period, just as the warm up period, it's essential to helping to reduce that delayed soreness that makes us not want to get out of bed in the morning. Or, you know, walk down the stairs, but also helps to active recovery, helps to recirculate blood flow, which helps to remove some of the nasty byproducts that'll accumulate during exercise. So they're really still important to do during cooler climates.
Sound words of advice there for young players and teams preparing and recovering in the cooler conditions, but more importantly with that humidity that was around on the weekend, and I think will probably stay with us for a little bit longer as well. Well, Chrissy, daily exercise and sports, adolescence, how do different types of activity like fitness, swimming, running influence adolescence moods? How does that impact?
Yeah, so to keep it very simple, any form of physical activity is going to have a beneficial influence on the moods and the behaviors of adolescents. And there are numerous studies that are coming out that have, you know, been looking at the effects of engaging in any form of physical activity, whether it's a team sport, whether it's an individual sport like gymnastics, But just the incorporation of daily physical activity helps to not only improve the health and wellness of adolescents, but also the self-efficacy, the self-esteem, and ultimately the mood of an adolescent. And alongside with those reports where we know there's a direct relationship with physical activity, swimming, running, doing those sorts of activities helps with influencing mood. We're actually not doing as much of that as we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we're seeing the flip side of that is that children and adolescents are scoring much lower on fundamental movement skills. They're scoring much lower on motor competency skills. They're scoring much lower on questionnaires and surveys that assess self-efficacy and self-esteem, how children and adolescents view themselves. And we can see that there is a correlation between the amount of exercise and physical activity that they're doing. Because not only does participation in sport like soccer, netball, football, running, swimming, it develops fundamental movement skills. But then we think about the social aspect of it. And even if you pick a sport like running or gymnastics or swimming where you compete as an individual, you're in the lane by yourself, you're still part of a team. You're going to a practice and you're having that social part of that. Well, we're seeing so much less of that. And instead, that time is now being either swapped out for in schools, focus on perhaps an academic aspect of learning, or at home, it's in front of the TV or on the phone or on a computer. So not only are we missing the activity, we're missing the social interaction.
As well. Chrissy, is one of the key words in there daily exercise? The word daily.
Yes, that's really important. And look, when we say daily, it's almost an average. We try to say physical activity most days of the week. Now, physical activity can be anything from accumulating 30 minutes throughout the day of walking. So you think about all the times you might have walked up and down the stairs, walked in and out of the grocery store, walked to the shopping center and back, down the corridor in your office to the bathroom. All of that accumulates. All of that counts for physical activity. But when we talk about exercise and whether that's, exercise is pre-programmed physical activity, meaning there's a set structure to that. So that could be you going to the gym and doing a workout, or you going to participate in a sport. That should be encouraged most days of the week, 3 to 4 days of the week. Not to get too sciencey, but there is sort of this, we call it like a J-shaped curve, where for the most part, as you increase activity, you increase the benefits, but there's still what we could say too much of a good thing. If you're not getting any sort of rest, if you're just pushing, and the only thing you're doing is exercising, of course we could see some negative effects with that. But it is important that we instill these habits, and in order for habits to become habits, they need to be done on a regular basis. And I think that's a huge thing that we should really be focusing on with children and adolescents. Then is making exercise a habit.
Well and truly. And just finally, Chrissy, very sound words of advice there. Some adults simply don't behave well in the stands or near the touchline or sideline. We know this is unfortunate. You, as I suppose a spectator or parent or whoever you might be, should you ignore it entirely, confront it in the moment, or do you deal with it later when tempers have cooled down? What would be your advice?
Yeah, I know this is probably not the answer you want, but I think it really depends on the situation. And I think if the situation is where if you've got adults behaving in a way that is really setting a bad example, is seriously affecting anyone else in the area, in the vicinity, in the stand, could have some significant consequences, I do think that it should be confronted in the moment. And I'm not opposed, and if I was in, you know, the crowd, and if there are children around me or adolescents, I'm very mindful of the words that are coming out of my mouth, even if I'm very heated and do not like the call of a referee or an umpire. I am mindful because I think about my intentions and what I want those around me to be aware of. And I think that is important, that even in a sporting context, we have to think about who's watching. But if it's, you know, I've been in games before or in arenas before, settings before where, yeah, you've got some people who might be a little bit loud. Their cheers are getting a bit sloppy. They're quite drunk. And as long as you assess the situation to think, yeah, they're not harmful. They're just really annoying. And you'd prefer that their behavior was not there. You might consider not mentioning anything at that time because it's likely going to escalate the situation even more.
Well and truly. Well, Chrissy Kendall, from lecturer in sports sciences at Edith Cowan University, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Sports Mix. Good luck with your assessments and wonderful, as we said, sound advice, sound suggestions regarding young players and teams recovering and preparing for the cooler conditions. Daily exercise certainly is important, and confrontation where perhaps some parents' behaviour isn't the best might be needed to sort that out on the immediate or the short-term future. Chrissy, have a great rest of the week. Look forward to your company again here on Sports Mix in the future.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chrissy.
All right.
Again, wonderful to have the experts available to us from Edith Cowan University. Fantastic advice there from Dr. Chrissy Kendall, lecturer, exercise and sports sciences at ECU. Listeners, we'll go to our next break. And after the break, we're going to be talking with Ray Baker, the coach of the Joondalup Wolves under-18 men's wobble team, their team two, and a couple of impressive wins over the last 2 weeks. Looking forward to chatting with Ray and looking at how the selection processes went, and they determined their under-18 team two for their men in the wobble competition. All that and more. Sports Mix, 89.7 FM.
Station sponsor.
Creative thinkers aren't born, they're made. We mix innovation with imagination to create digital worlds from scratch, to 3D print new food from old, to pioneer research in renewables, health and cybersecurity. Because we question, challenge, imagine. You will too. We'll help make creative thinking your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
G'day, mate.
Oh, g'day.
You're drinking orange juice too?
Yep. Nice drop, don't you reckon?
Yeah, good colour. Excellent nose.
Yep, the choice for the discerning designated driver.
Good one.
I'm Davo, by the way.
Hey, Davo, Mike Hussey.
Yeah? Must be hell having the same name as a famous Aussie Oh, jeez, you're the Mike Hussey, aren't you?
Just call me Huss, mate.
Oh, jeez, Huss.
Let me shout you another OJ.
Oh, they're free for designated drivers here, Huss.
I'll get you two then.
Oh, you're a legend.
A message from RAD. Recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.
On 89.7, Talking Sport from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturdays. We'll be right back.
Well, listeners, welcome back to Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM. I'm Gordon Allen, your host. And as we said, we're going to be talking all things basketball here during our next segment. And it's a warm welcome to Ray Baker, the coach of the Joondalup Wolves Under-18 Men's Wobble, their Team 2. Good evening, Ray.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
No problems at all, Ray. Thank you for giving us your time as well. Well, Ray, you're the coach of the Wolfpack Wobble team, the under-18, the men's team two. How was the selection process, and there was a new grading system this year for you to be graded into the competition, but selecting the 10 players for your team would not have been an easy task?
Yeah, not at all. I think this year was probably unprecedented numbers for our participation as far as grading is concerned, so... You know, very fortunate in the Wanneroo Basketball Association or the Wolves group to have such a large number of participants willing to try their hand out of the domestic competition. Very talented individuals. So in the under-18s, we see that big shift, I guess, in maturity, both physically and mentally from the, that age group of 15 to 17-year-olds. So we went through an exhaustive process and the club has clearly identified our talent. Pool was extensive, but we have our first and second team who compete every week on the practice court as well, which is great for the club to have that level of competition. And we were able to select a nice mix of what we call underage and overage players in team two as well.
That certainly is a very, very comprehensive understanding of how it all comes about. And as we said, there was a new grading system this year for the Wobble competition. Do you believe that has been worthwhile, and will that continue into the future? Because I had some mixed comments about that from different people as well, Ray.
Yeah, look, I think personally I'm in support of it, because what's actually happened now is in each division there's a limited number of spots, so, you know, eight teams per division. So within our Division 2, we literally have what you might term some Division 1 teams, and obviously the top end of Division 2. So every week it's enormously competitive, so you don't get any blowouts if you were to check the results every week, and the level of... I guess the talent pool as well is very even, both underage and overage players as well. So, look, I am an advocate for it, but like in all of the circumstances, you know, time will tell.
Time will tell.
And yeah, most certainly.
I'm sure that proof will be in the pudding there, and of course, whatever can ensure that there's a strong competitive competition week in and week out, and the players can achieve to their highest level is what we're what this are looking to do. So, Ray, for you, what's a typical week with game day preparations, post game? How does all that come about? Because we know the players have got their local junior competitions to play. How do you fit it all together with them?
Yeah, look, absolutely, and you know they are. Encouraged to play domestic basketball locally, which is great because I guess it gives them the opportunity for our Wobble players to compete against each other on court, which is, you know, the more basketball they can play, the better. And as far as the coach is concerned, you know, look, you know, they've got their... You're trying to fit in, I guess, basketball knowledge is probably the big thing that from my perspective as a coach we're trying to impart on these players, because they're enormously physically talented, this group, and that they enjoy the aspects of playing the game. And myself and our assistant, Joe Plummer, who was an under-20s player for Wolves last year, who's taken on the coaching mantle now, and he's on his coaching pathway, is trying to instill, I guess, a greater basketball IQ for a lot of these young men. And that's challenging, I guess, because they've also got their schoolwork to be considered during the week. So, you know, prior to game day, we'll do a little bit of scouting on some numbers, and if we've seen seen any game tape of the opposition, myself and Joe will probably review some of that and impart some knowledge to the boys. We'll compete on game day, and post game day we'll upload the video of the game, hopefully later that night or the next day for the boys to digest. You know, come Wednesday, you know, we have a training session at Woodvale Secondary College, their basketball facility up there, at about 8 p.m., which I think is a little bit strange for some of these boys who are still having their commitment of school as well. So we don't usually wrap up till after 9:30, So they got to get home and, you know, and get their homework done. I'm sure that's a priority for these boys. You know, they're all very diligent and, you know, attempting to be successful in life as well. And then we get to train with our team one on Thursdays at HBF Arena, which is a great opportunity to do some skill work, but importantly build, you know, a bit of club culture as well. Whilst we compete on the court, when we scrimmage, you know, the boys really understand that, you know, as a coaching mentor of mine says, you know, iron sharpens iron. So we really get out there and get after it. But, you know, we want to make sure that competition and it's not a surprise to them come game day. So that's been a pleasure to watch and a pleasure to see over the last probably 4 to 6 months, both teams sort of grow and respect each other and help each other get better on court.
Fantastic words there, Ray. Now, you're fifth on the ladder at the moment. You had a round one loss to Willerton, round two loss to Mandurah, but you defeated Lakeside Lightning, their number one team, 81-80 in round three, and yesterday you defeated Coburn 88-79. So some very positive signs there.
Yeah, it was you know, the first two games were fantastic. I think the Mandurah side was their Division One side as well. So, you know, it was great for the boys to sort of test their skills against, you know, high quality opposition. I think we're a little bit slow out of the box, I guess, in our first game, you know, blowing out a bit of rust. But certainly in the last two games, the guys have shown their mettle and really embraced our team philosophies and our framework. We have some key principles around our transition in offense and defense, and it's been great to see the boys, I guess, understand the importance of every decision they make and how the game is connected. So for Joe and myself, you know, it's just reinforcing those principles. The game against Lakeside came down to the last minute, and yeah, we were fortunate. I guess the ball dropped our way, so to speak. You know, we hit two free throws at the end and they had a couple of seconds, they had a shot with a couple of seconds to go, and we were able to put enough pressure on that shot to make it go wide. And certainly against Coburn, you know, we sort of dug ourselves a little hole, but, you know, from that perspective, they were able to, they showed a lot of their mettle and were able to fight back and really embrace what our team is about, and that's certainly, you know, playing as a cohesive group, playing for each other. Understanding their role, knowing their job, and executing as such. And, you know, I think at one stage there was a double-digit deficit, and we were able to bring that back. And, you know, in the end, the scoreboard might look like a comfortable win, but certainly wasn't. It was pressure all the way to the final minute.
And I'm sure the players will respond to that as you go further into the competition. Now, looking at some of your point scorers there, Jeremiah Gatluke, 58, with Lewis Pibworth, 58 as well, and Sam Giel, 38. We've spoken to Ben, Sam's older brother. So you've got some very good sharpshooters in that squad as well, Ray.
Yeah, most certainly. I think the team is evenly balanced, I guess, with you know, significant people in each of our positions. You've mentioned Jeremiah, who's officially known as Jerry in our team, a long, agile, athletic wing who provides us, you know, with some, I guess, some diversity, being able to play multiple positions, and in particular, you know, getting those long limbs out into the lanes. As far as deflecting balls are concerned, Louis Pidworth is a great young guard with a lot of speed. You know, gives us some options when going north south as well. So and able to shoot the three ball. And yeah, you know, look, I probably refer to Sam as Stephen Christie's boy because his parents were quite accomplished basketballers back in their day. But look, I think Sam's cutting his own path, and he's got a great basketball brain, and he's developing into the player that he certainly can be. So that's great. And you know, we have a great big in Jake who provides us, you know, great rebounding, and with Cal and Zach in there crashing the boards and a lot of energy, and our own sideshow Bob Jared. You know, he's got the best hair in the business. You know, offering great things both ends of the court, you know, and a lot of energy. So, you know, we're very fortunate to have a good group of boys who, or I should say young men, who understand it's about, you know, blending together as a group, understanding their role, and when it's their turn, you know, they show up and they show up in force, which, super proud of these guys. And it's been a pleasure to actually, and a privilege, I should say, to be able to coach them this season and get to know them.
Now, of course, round five coming up next Sunday, you take on the Perth Redbacks, who are in second place. Any special tactics for this match, Ray?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, coached by the recently retired Lewis Timms from the Perth Redbacks. This group is, I guess they've earned their stripes. They're certainly, you know, as numbers are concerned, they're considered their Division 3 team, but they perform very well in grading. So I think from our perspective, you know, it's sticking strict to our principles, slowing the ball down and playing our game. But given the opportunity, I know our guys are really willing and able to step up. And you know, it's our house, so we like to protect our house. And that's when we show our best. And our young men are certainly up and ready for the fight. But look, the aim of the game is to put the ball in the hoop more times than the opposition. And, I'm gathering we're up for the challenge.
Very simple basics when you put it down in that frame there, Ray. You score more points than they do and you win the match. It's as simple as that. No other result can occur. Well, Ray Baker, the coach of the Wolfpack Wobble team, the under-18 men's 2 team, good luck for the remainder of the season. And certainly you've going along very well at the moment. 2 wins, 2 losses. And seems to be building towards something very special with your team and the philosophy that you've got in place. Let's hope you can get the points against the Perth Redbacks next Sunday.
Me too. Thanks again for your time, Gordon.
Thanks, Ray. Cheers. Bye. Well, what great insight there into the Wobble competition there, the under-18 men's team too. There, thanks very much to Andrew Somerville for helping to arrange the interview, and looking forward to seeing their results, as well as the other teams, their championship team and their team 3 during the next couple of weeks with the rounds there. And just finally with the basketball, the NBL 1 West last weekend, the Wolves women, they lost on Friday night against the Senators. The men are still undefeated, and they'll take on the Willerton Tigers at home next Saturday. The women at 5 p.m. and the men at 7 p.m. Should be another cracking game, couple of cracking games coming up there with the Wolves in the NBL 1 West this weekend. Well, listeners, we'll go to our final break, and after the break, we'll just have a little bit of general updates. We'll let him more. Sports Mix 89.7 FM.
Tune in every Monday evening to Sports Mix between 6 to 8 p.m. with Gordon Allen and the team for all the latest rugby league news and what's happening in local junior sport. For your latest weekly sports fix, it's Sports Mix on 89.7 FM.
Sally called when she got the word. She said, I suppose you've heard about Alice. Well, I rushed to the window and I looked outside, but I could hardly believe my eyes. A big limousine rolled up into Alice's drive. Oh,
I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. 'Cause for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice. 24 years just waiting for a chance to tell her how I feel and maybe get a second glance. Now I gotta get used to not living next door to Alice.
We grew up together, two kids in the park, carved our initials deep in the bark. Me and Alice. Now she walks through the door with her head held high. Just for a moment I caught her eye as a big limousine pulled slowly out of Alice's drive.
Oh, I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. 'Cause for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice. 24 years just waiting for a chance.
I've been waiting for 24 years. And the big limousine disappeared.
I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. 'Cause for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice. 24 years just waiting for a chance to tell her how. Door to Alice.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. First thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Well, listeners, welcome back to Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM. I'm Gordon Allen, your host. It's coming up to 7:48, and we're also into our final segment. And just a few little updates. The City of Joondalup, in partnership with Ausbuyer, they're delivering a free cultural awareness information session for sporting clubs as part of the Clubs in Focus program. Now, that's going to be held on the Wednesday, the 5th of June, 6:30 till 8:30 p.m. at Chichester Park Community Sporting Facility in Woodvale. So simply call your Sport and Recreation Officer at Joondalup Council on 08 9400 400, and you'll be able to register for the Cultural Awareness Information Session. They're also holding a Healthy Canteens webinar. And as we know, canteens, big revenue stream for clubs. And, of course, we certainly would like to announce that there's a free webinar to educate clubs on how to run a profitable but healthy canteen at the same time, and it's going to be delivered by the Fuel to Go and Play team. Now, the Healthy Canteen Profits Tips to Running a Successful Canteen, Monday, the 17th of June, 7 p.m., and you simply go to their website and you can sign up to the webinar. So the Fuel to Go and Play website has many resources available to assist clubs in offering healthier options at your sporting ground. So that should be very worthwhile to log in to register for that. The Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries have also got many useful resources available for clubs online, including a list of 10 commandments for our treasurers, such as maintaining a secure computer-based banking system, properly banking all monies received, clearly distinguishing between capital, revenue and expenditure. The list goes on and on and on. And obviously, faithfully discharge your responsibilities. So just check that out on the Department of Local Government Sport and Cultural Industries website, particularly if you're in a financial role. Plenty of guidance and assistance there to help you through. Also have National Reconciliation Week 2024, time for all Australians to learn about our shared histories, cultures and achievements, and to explore how each of us can contribute to achieving reconciliation in Australia. Now, the National Reconciliation Week will be between the 27th of May and the 3rd of June, and you can display the 2024 National Reconciliation Week. They've got to download to various items that you can display. Simply go to their website. Social inclusion and disability awareness. And if you're not aware, in Australia, 20% of the population live with a disability. And last month, the City of Joondalup partnered with Inclusion Solutions to deliver a session to clubs on social inclusion and disability awareness. Inclusive language, first impressions, communication, accessibility, and best practice were explored throughout the session. So if you would like to discuss how your club can be more inclusive, again, reach out to your Sport and Recreation Officer at Joondalup Council on 08 9400 400. And, of course, also volunteering WA, very important. And if you missed the session that the council hosted, Volunteering WA have great online resources available for clubs to use. The guidelines, role descriptions and grants particular to assist clubs in volunteer management. And simply go to the link on Volunteering WA's website. An interesting one which they also provided from the City of Joondalup, paint waste disposal. So make sure that your club is correctly disposing of line marking paint, not just throwing it in the general waste. They have disposal sites throughout the Paint Back scheme located at Tamala Park and Balcatta Recycling. So make sure that you check up on your disposal of paint waste. Now, the true sport, sideline behaviour. Now, we spoke about this with Dr. Chrissy Kendall earlier in the program. And, of course, as we know, there's no place for poor sideline behaviour. Let us play. So the initiative has been developed by Sport West to make sure everyone feels safe and comfortable playing the sport they love. So this initiative seeks to increase public awareness of the impact of poor sideline behaviour in sporting environments. Visit the Sport West website to find out the resources you can use to promote the campaign. True sport, everyone, every sport. And Ausbuyer, they have a game plan resource. If you want to gain insight into your club's capabilities, you can use The Game Plan. It's a free online platform developed by the Australian Sports Commission. It allows clubs to assess and evaluate their own environment, identifying strengths and areas for improvement. And the city encourages all clubs to engage with the platform to help direct ongoing club development. Learn more about that, again, just go to your Sport and Recreation Officer at the Joondalup Council. Well, listeners, on this day in 1909, would you believe this, the first Italian cycling event, the equivalent of the Tour de France, took place in Milan. Italian cyclist Luigi Ganna was the winner. 1914, American boxer, world heavyweight champion from 1937 to was born on this day in Alabama. So looking forward to Joe Louis, that's certainly celebrating his birthday today. 1950, the first ever race of the Formula One World Drivers Championship was run at Silverstone in England and won by Giuseppe Farina of Italy in an Alfa Romeo. Of course, Formula One, certainly a big sporting event around the world nowadays. 1961, Dennis Rodman, American NBA forward with the Chicago Bulls, was born in Trenton, New Jersey. 1963, Wally Masur, English-born Australian tennis player, was born in Southampton in England. And in 1967, the octagonal boxing ring was tested to avoid corner injury. So that went all the way back to 1967. Can you believe that, listeners? It certainly is a long time ago when that was made to occur. Well, 1973, Bobby Riggs. American, he beat Margaret Smith Court in the Mother's Day match in California. Interesting. And in 1995, Team New Zealand beat Team Dennis Connor 5-0 to win the America's Cup, the sailing, yachting, for the first time. 2006, English FA Cup final at the Millennium Stadium at Cardiff with 71,000 people saw Liverpool beat West Ham United 3-1 on penalties after it was 3-3. It was the Reds' seventh title. And just finally, in 2012, Man City won the English Premier League title for the first time. They look like they're going to win it again this year, and very close to having that secure when they play their catch-up match-up game against Tottenham Hotspurs this week. Well, listeners, don't forget, of course, if you have any suggestions or any comments or advice for the program or for myself, text 0418 897 897 or email gordon.allen at 897fm.com.au, and don't forget to check out our Facebook page at 89.7 FM. Plenty of information there, as well as information about all of the great programs which are here on 89.7. And don't forget Talking Sport next Saturday between 8 and 11 with Clive Adams and the crew. Clive's in the chair. All the latest local sporting news for you there. Well, as we said at the beginning of the program, listeners, I'll be away for the next two Mondays, the 20th and 27th. We'll be back on Monday, the 3rd of June. I know it's a public holiday, but as we said, sport never stops. And, of course, there'll be plenty to talk about over that long weekend in all the sports that are occurring. And many thanks to our team tonight with Tim Park, our co-host with our Rugby League segment, and Peter Rowe, Mahina Clare from the Ellenbrook Rabbits. Great to have you join us in that part of the program, as well as Dr. Chrissy Kendall, lecturer in exercise and sports sciences at Edith Cowan University. What great advice for young players and teams to prepare and recover in the cooler conditions. But you also made mention of the exceptionally high humidity the last couple of days as well, the importance thereof keeping hydrated. And, of course, the benefits of daily exercise and good behaviour on the in the stand or near the sideline, very important. And many thanks to Ray Baker, the coach of the Joondalup Wolves, the under-18 men's wobble team, sitting in the competition at the moment in fifth spot. Two losses, two wins, but two good wins the last two weekends. They take on the Perth Redbacks in round five in the wobble next Sunday. The Redbacks are sitting second. But what great insight Ray gave us as to what's occurring within that team, and looking forward to seeing how their results go, as well as the other teams in the under-18 men's wobble competition. Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of our program. Have a great week. Don't forget all the great programs here on 89.7 FM. Make sure you tune into those, and look forward to your company again on Monday, the 3rd of June, between 6 and 8 p.m. with Sports Mix here on 89.7 FM. Dance, dance, dance.
jump down. Black on black, ain't that a fact? They always say it's black on black. It's so whack. You find a cell small enough to fit ya. Think they wanna hear a bigger picture? You think they're gonna ask the name of a white face? Who gave you the gun in the first place? White faces living it high and hard. Keep on pushing drugs into your yard. No, they're looking for a friend. They want a black face to blame. You're gonna add yours to their list. Give the conspiracy theory a new twist. They keep on chanting black on black. Ain't that a fact?
Another infection is beginning to spread. We've been here before, but we're still learning about this new virus and we can't make any assumptions. We need your team to develop a rapid diagnostic test. Can you do it?
Every single day, biomedical science graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
What you hear on community radio is governed by the Community Broadcasting Codes of Practice. The Codes of Practice cover matters relating to program content that are of concern to the community, including local content, news, current affairs, Australian music content, programs for children, and the responsibilities associated with broadcasting to the community. They also cover aspects such as community access and participation in the operation of this service. Copies of the codes are available from the Community Broadcasting Association website, www.cbaa.org.au.
The City of Joondalup's Customer Service Centre make it easy for you to pay your rates, dog registration and infringement notices, plus receive information on other city services. The centre is located at Joondalup and is open during business hours Monday to Friday.
Need to talk about your alcohol or drug use? The team at Drug Info can answer your questions about the effects of different drugs, including alcohol, illicit, and prescribed drugs.